Have your Bible, please turn with me, book of Ezekiel tonight, book of Ezekiel chapter number 3, book of Ezekiel chapter number 3. One of the things I find in preaching of the Word of God is that if we're going to do it effectively, we must make application. For if we study just to learn for learning's sake, for instance, if all we do is learn that David slew Goliath, but don't learn the truth that God can help us slay giants, then we've missed the point. When it comes to preaching, one of the things that we are to do, of course, is exhort, we're to admonish. There's a positive and a negative that goes with that. And as one preaches, sometimes there are things that bring us under conviction. I found that folks like to hear teaching that does not cause conviction. And I've had folks say to me, would you lay off my case tonight or this morning and just let me rest for a service? And sometimes we try to oblige with that because sometimes that's needed as well. But nonetheless, these things happen. Tonight, as we look at the Scripture, this is one, I'm going to tell you, it's like a tomahawk that's been thrown right into my heart. And I want us to look here tonight. The book of Ezekiel, what I believe is to be a very, very important message that God has laid into my heart and I trust will lay into yours as well. You all turn there and I've been talking. Chapter number 3, the book of Ezekiel. I want to read a lengthy portion here tonight that you might see. Actually just many verses. Book of Ezekiel, chapter 3. We're going to begin in verse number 1. It says, moreover, he said unto me, son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. This is not R-O-L-E. Okay? This is talking about a roll, speaking of a book. Okay? And caused me to eat that roll. He said to me, son of man, cause thy belly eat, fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. We're having a picture given to us. And he said to me, son of man, go get thee unto the house of Israel, and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech and of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto me. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears. And go, get thee to them of the captivity unto the children of thy people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. Then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from His place. And I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Then I came to them of captivity at Tel Abib, that dwell by the river of Chebar, and I sat where they sat, and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also, thou hast delivered thy soul. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for what our eyes have seen, our ears have heard of your word. Lord, I pray that now that you would cause us to make the sense of it, that we might understand it, but moreover, we might apply it to our lives. Father, tonight, we pray for your leadership. We pray for your unction. Spirit of God, move amongst us. I pray, O God, that each one of us right now would just allow you that full access to our heart and lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please go ahead and be seated. The book of Ezekiel, a very unusual book. Ezekiel was a man who was called by God to his own people. He was not called to go as a missionary to a group of folks in a faraway land that spoke a different language, but to his people. Matter of fact, he was called by God to go to his people in a certain locality, and that was the people who had been taken captive. They were by the river Chebar. He is also told that these whom he is going to go to, those to whom he is to speak, will not listen to him. But he's told to go anyway. Verse number 7 says, "But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impotent and hard-hearted." Though a person may not listen to us, we still have the responsibility to go to them and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come down to verse 15, 16, and 17, I find that God reiterates, or maybe I could say magnifies, his call to Ezekiel. He is now at the river Chebar. And it says that he sat astonished for 7 days. And the Lord came to him. Verse 17, which would be our text for the night, it says, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of thy mouth and give them warning from me." His job is very, very simple. He is to warn the people of impending danger. Basically, he is to warn them of the judgment of God that is really already upon them. Failure to do so puts him in the same position as a watchman that would stand upon the walls of a city and look out to see if an enemy is coming. That watchman, as he is upon the walls in those different areas, as he watches if he sees an enemy approaching, he is to call down, he is to warn those who are within the city that they might protect themselves. If he gives warning, then the people in the city are responsible to stand and to seek to protect themselves. If he gives not a warning, and the enemy come upon them, he is the responsible party. And the word here tells us that his blood, verse 18, will I require at thine hand. That's interesting in the light of the book of Genesis in chapter number 9. For in that book, and in that verse 5, it says, "And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast will I require it, at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man." As we look at that, we understand that God in that instance is establishing what we might call human government. And as God is establishing human government, the purpose is that if a person rises up and kills another, then those in those positions are to take his life from him. We're talking about capital punishment. I've heard people say, well, it's not God's will that people be killed because the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But may I remind you that death is a result of our sin. And it is something that God has so deemed upon us. And when you and I sin against God, there is capital, if you so please, punishment. And so we find here the watchman is in a very serious position of authority. Go with me to chapter 33. We see some very similar verses in chapter 33 of the book of Ezekiel. And let me read. I'm just going to read the first 9 verses. It says, again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me. When I say unto the wicked, O wicked man, thou shalt surely die, if thou dost not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the wicked of his way to turn from it, if he do not turn from his way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. What God is teaching us in these verses is very simply, God has placed this man Ezekiel in the position of a watchman. He is to warn the people of impending judgment. He is to hear the word at God's mouth and give it to the people. If he does not do so, the Bible says that their blood be upon them. In the book of Acts, we read the story of Paul and Silas as they are in the jail at Philippi. We find that the prison walls are shaken by an earthquake. They are loose from their bonds. And the jailer comes in because Paul has said to him, do thyself no harm. You see, he believed that the inmates were going to escape and he would be responsible. He was about ready to kill himself because he knew he would have to pay with his life for letting the prisoners go. Paul, in that case, kept all the prisoners there. And matter of fact, as a result of it all, we find that that jailer ended up getting saved by the grace of God. To the Christian that looks at these verses and say, well, that's Old Testament. To the child of God who looks and says, well, that's something that is in the past, that is something for cities, that is something for Ezekiel. May I remind you of something? The book of Acts, chapter number 20, and verse number 26 and 27. The Apostle Paul says, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. The Apostle Paul, looking back at Ezekiel and understanding the truth that we have just read here in chapter 3 and chapter 33, has said, I have warned those whom I have been before. I am free of their blood. He understood that this is applicable to the Christian who fails to warn the wicked by not giving him the whole counsel of God. There is a wrath of God that all men should flee from. And you and I have a responsibility to warn them of that wrath. I ask you the question tonight, what are the qualifications for serving God by warning men? Ezekiel had them. What can we learn from the Lord's words that He gave to Ezekiel by which we might better serve our Lord and act as watchmen to those who are round about us? I believe tonight there are three things that we find within our text tonight that we need to examine. First of all, if we're going to be a good watchman, we need to discipline our ear. Secondly, I'd like to speak to you about the fact if we're going to be a good watchman, we need to educate our tongue. And then thirdly, I would like for us to notice some lessons in the text to be practiced. And I ask the Spirit of God tonight to bless the whole subject to our hearts. Verse number 17, notice what it says. Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Could we not tonight say, Son of God? As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become what? The sons of God. Son of God, have I not made you a watchman to the world? Does not the Bible say to us that we are to take the gospel into the entire world? Are we not to warn them of a coming judgment and of a Savior who can save them? But notice what He says here. I have made thee a watchman of the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth. Hear the word at my mouth. We need tonight the discipline to hear God's word. To realize that God's word is authority. I love good books. Many of you are devourers of good books. Books are good, but only as they enhance the Word of God. Sermons are wonderful, but again, only as they enhance the Word of God. We often go on opinions, and they really do not matter when it comes to the reality of the soul. Perhaps we ought to keep our opinions and learn the truth. My Bible says, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." It does not say that your opinions will set anybody free. Mine will not help a person. We sit sometimes in Bible studies and ask, "What does this mean to you?" When really, it does not matter your opinion about it. It's thus saith the Lord. It is His authority that is deemed necessary, and how we need to discipline our ear to hear God's word. We must learn it, thus saith the Lord, in order to spew it forth. If it does not come in, it cannot go out. Somebody said to me, "How do you get your sermons? Do you get them off the internet? Do you get them out of books? Where do you get your sermons?" They ought to come from God as He gives it to you in your own personal time, or as a result of walking with Him. We must learn, thus saith the Lord. We must gain from Him in order to give it out. We cannot give what we do not receive. We find that the disciples received broken fish and bread from the Lord. But until they received it, they could not discharge it to the 5,000 to be fed. And so you and I tonight must discipline our ear to the Word of God. If you know but one thing, take it. tell it to another, and then go learn another verse. Learn another truth from the Word of God. That'd be very simple. But how we need to hear the truth of God that we might give it unto another person. I would say to you as well, get it fresh from the Lord. A secondhand story loses its zeal. I had asked to me last night, as I sat in a wedding, and it was mentioned to me, I think it was Q, he said, you've probably done thousands of these. I'm not sure about the thousands, but it is in the hundreds. I've performed weddings. I've attended weddings. And no offense to anybody, but somehow a bride or a groom making the vows unto the other with words that the preacher said that they stumble over don't seem to have quite the meaning as what comes out of the heart. I've had the privilege, if I stood in this spot and somebody has had a little difficulty with those words, but their eyes and even a little expression and maybe some words I heard that you did not hear that were much more valuable because they came from the heart. You see, if you and I are going to warn people, it needs to be out of our heart. Not what somebody else has said that we've heard secondhand. The book of Mark chapter number 3, listen to this very carefully. It says, he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. This is the call of the disciples. And they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. He called them. They came to him. They spent time with him. After that, they're able to go from there and to minister unto others. There's a need tonight for us, if we're going to have a message to give to others, to get a message from God. We give to our Sunday school teachers different helps that they can use. But if that lesson does not come from their heart, I say it's not of great value. It needs to be born from the heart within. He says, thou shalt hear the word at my mouth. There lies the word in this book. What infinite majesty there is in the Lord. And I would say one other thing concerning this tonight. When we hear the word of God, it needs to be very real to us. But we also need, can I put it this way? Feel the force of it. Notice verses 1 through 4 with me again. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat that thou findest. Eat the roll. Now, after reading that chapter, you can understand he's speaking of the Word of God. And go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said to me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then I did eat it, and it was what? In my mouth. As honey for sweetness. You see, that word became very real to him, and it was that which he felt the force of it. He felt the sweetness of it and what it could do in his own life. And so God says, if you and I are going to be a watchman, what do we need to do? Hear the word at my mouth. Notice secondly, it says, and give them warning from me. I say to you tonight, in these words, the tongue is to be educated. It must be the truth. Without regard to persons. For he said to Ezekiel, you have to go to a people who will not listen to you. There will be those who sat there who will criticize you, who will ridicule you. There will be those there that will not accept what you are saying to them. There will be those that word you give them will not be palatable. Matter of fact, Ezekiel, they may hate you. Notice verse number 8 and 9 of the same text. He said, "And behold, I will lay hands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side." I'm in the wrong chapter, excuse me. "Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house." And so as we teach that tongue, it must be in regards to the fact it's God's Word, not fear the faces of those who hear it. It must have the emotion of the man behind it. You understand tonight that people not only hear what you say, they see what you say. Men observe us as to the reality that it is in our soul. Though Paul speaks of being thankful for the name of Christ being mentioned as His name is brought out even in contention. But oh, how much greater it is when that word goes forth from a heart that is aflame with the reality of God in it. The tongue must be trained and educated. It must be given as from God because it is. God has made us ambassadors. That be not true of just the preacher. That be true of every one of us. We are ambassadors for Christ's sake. Matter of fact, from our very bellies ought to flow the living water. John said it this way, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Though at times unbelief may bind us, but when His Word begins to burn within, it's time to let God speak through us once again. Notice verse 25 of the chapter, "But thou, O son of man, behold, they shall put bands upon thee, and thou shalt bind, then shall bind thee with them, and thou shalt not go out among them. And I will make thy tongue cleave to the roof of thy mouth, that thou shalt be dumb, and shall not be to them a reprover, for they are a rebellious house. But when I speak with thee, I will open thy mouth, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. He that heareth, let him hear, and he that forbeareth, let him forbear, for they are a rebellious house." That word that God puts in our hearts, there may be some times we're not able to say it, but when He puts it there vividly, He makes the opportunity. We dare not have their blood upon us. There are throughout this city of ours little children that need Christ. There are moms and dads that need Christ. There are households everywhere we look that need Christ. And when we do not tell them, their blood be upon our hands. We walk by them every day. We see them here, we see them there. And yet we do not tell. Their blood be upon our hands. One last thought tonight, a lesson from the text. And it's basically one who might be here tonight that's what we would describe as the one receiving the message. Sinner, this is for you. God has so laid this upon us and the responsibility that you might hear the blessed gospel. Your excellence of character, your position of society is not your salvation. It's only Jesus. Aren't you thankful, Christian, tonight? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Aren't you glad tonight that you can say forth a message like that? But to the religious Pharisee, the Lord Jesus said, "Ye must be born again." To the religious Gentile woman at the well, He said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth." to the practicing Jew. He said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they which testify of me, and ye will not come to me that ye might have life." You and I have a responsibility to give the Word of God to a lost and dying world. It's not something we just come to church and glibly take and walk out and go our merry way. There are folks who need Christ. Amen. Thank God when folks get saved. I praise the Lord in the last couple of weeks, two of my grandchildren made a profession of faith in Christ. One I thought had. But God dealt with the soul. But do you recognize tonight there are literally thousands of grandparents and counts of bluffs, some of whom are saved and will go to heaven, and their grandchildren won't be with them because they didn't warn them. They took them to ball games, they did these things and those things and bought them gifts and maybe spoiled them and never told them about Jesus. I wonder how many have actually walked into the doors of this building and we've not really told them about Jesus. It's the blessed gospel, amen. We need to hear it from God. We need to hear His Word in our heart and our soul. It needs to burn within us. We need to like Jeremiah, who said that he was going to stop preaching, but the Word of God burned within him. And we need to allow our tongue to spew it forth. Not to hold it back because of their faces. Not to hold it back because of the reaction that may come. We need to give them the Word that men might be saved. Amen. Aren't you glad somebody did that for you? I grew up in this city. I was born in Mercy Hospital. I spent the next 7 years on three different farms. At the age of 8, we moved to town. One of the first people to come to our door was my uncle. And he invited my mom and dad to go to church. They wanted me to go to Sunday school. I remember my cousin, I saw her just a few weeks ago, came by because mom and dad had bought me a nice little shirt and a bow tie. Remember those little clip-on bow ties? I hated it then, I still hate them. Please don't buy me one. And she came by because nobody in the family knew how to put it on. And I went to Sunday school for the very first time. Well, actually the second time in my life. And began to go week after week. I was taught the things of God. But for the next 10 years, nobody ever really took me aside and said, "You need to be saved." Nobody did that. In all the years growing up here, I remember one person, one time, coming to our door. I'm going to assume at this juncture in life, he was probably a Jehovah's Witness, but he came to our door. He had a Bible that was well worn. I remember him standing talking to my mother, and she'd ask questions, and boy, he'd turn to Scriptures and give her this and give her that. Made a big impression on me. I don't really remember too much of what they said, but boy, I was interested in how he knew where to find all these things in that book. If he was a born-again man, what a difference that would have made had I listened and he'd talked to me that day. When I was 18, I went to a crusade held by Billy Graham. He preached. I don't remember what he preached. I walked down the aisle. I had a friend of mine. There was workers there, and they brought us up, and we sat down. I was open. And honest to goodness, the guy who, I don't know if he wasn't trained right, I don't know what the problem, he simply said to us, "You need to go back to the church you're from and let them help you." Well, they hadn't yet. I could have got saved that night. You folks know how I got saved. A man who'd been dead 50 years wrote an article. His name was Martin Luther. And I read that, and I got saved. "Though he be dead, yet he speaketh." I thank God. Martin Luther didn't have all of his T's crossed properly, nor did he have his I's dotted exactly right. Matter of fact, he didn't believe the book of James was a scripture. Did you know that? He could not understand how that was scripture because he thought it contrasted others. But through his testimony, I got saved. You and I tonight have an obligation to reach a world. There's folks all around us. Their blood be on our hands. What's that mean? It looks to me like that God holds us as responsible for the soul of an individual that we do not tell about Christ as He does the man who murders another man. Because we really look at it, that's what we do when we don't tell them.